Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide private adoption services throughout all of Michigan, with offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, but it is our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this radio show to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community. So we're very grateful that you're listening in today to our program. If you'd like to call in during the show, you could do so by dialing 347-850-1100. I am excited to welcome to the Adoption Focus podcast today, Nikki, and Nikki is a mother. Nikki, are you with us today?
I am. Hello, Jennifer. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for taking the time out of what I know is a busy schedule to be with us.
It's my pleasure.
And today we are talking about open adoption, and you and your husband have completed more than one adoption that we're going to be hearing about here in a second. And particularly the concept that we're talking about today is why we weren't scared, quote unquote, there. And there is a great deal of conversation in the field of adoption regarding openness. And when it comes to issues surrounding openness, adoption professionals are diligent in their education of birth families and adoptive families alike. So this is a topic that speaks to a lot of people. And Nikki, I was hoping you could start us off today by sharing a little bit about yourself and your family.
Yeah, great. So we have four children. My husband and I first got married in 2004 and soon after got pregnant with our first, which is our daughter, Krista, and she's now 11 years old. And then next up, we had a son 2 years later named Nate. And after that, we knew that we wanted more children, but started struggling with infertility. And as I'm sure a lot of listeners know, it can be a very difficult and trying time. And so a lot of prayer and tears went into trying to decide what to do next. And so after some time of really praying and feeling very called, we decided to pursue adoption, and so we adopted our third child, Michael, another boy, and that he is now 4 years old, and we adopted him when he was about 3 months old. And then after that, right after we adopted Michael, we felt called right away to adopt again, and so we got our name back in the hat and figured it would take quite a while, and we're linked actually really quickly with our son, Shane, so our third boy, our fourth child. And Shane is now 2 years old.
You're a busy family.
Yes. Any family is a busy family.
For sure. So, well, thanks for explaining that and laying the groundwork there. It sounds like you have an absolutely wonderful family, and we'll have a picture up later this afternoon on Facebook of your family. Thank you for sharing that. In our discussion today about open adoption, I wanted to say, obviously, there are varying degrees of openness that exist between adoptive families and birth families. And Nikki, as I know you know, these relationships are based upon trust. So will you talk about what openness looks like in your birth family relationships?
Yeah, so as you said, there's a lot of different levels of openness. For our family, I think we're almost unique that we're on the side of the spectrum where we are completely open. And so for our third child, our first adoption, Michael, we actually, it was a designated adoption, so we knew his birth father's family from church. We went to church with them. And so we had kind of an existing relationship already. We weren't close at the time, but we knew them. And his birth mother, actually, when she had Michael, she was planning on parenting him. And so at first, this is not traditional, but she actually moved in with us with the intention that we were just going to kind of help her get on her feet so that she would be able to have the resources she needed to parent. Mm-hmm. And then after she had lived with us for a bit, she decided that what would be best for Michael was to place him for adoption with our family. So we had a pretty intense connection by that point in time. She'd been living in our house for a bit, and you know, we had a totally open relationship, and that has been able to continue. And so we see each other. We, you know, spend holidays together. We talk, we text, we Facebook. You know, it's a completely open relationship with both Michael's birth father, his family, and with Michael's birth mom. And then when we went to adopt again, we were really hoping to have that open relationship. But we realized that you never know who, you know, what type of relationship the birth family is going to want. And it's, you know, obviously up to them as much as us. So we got linked this time with a family that we didn't know previously. And the birth mother for Shane, our fourth child, she wanted an open adoption also. So Shane's birth father was not interested in keeping a relationship. So unfortunately, we don't have connection with him at this time. But Shane's birth mom, we have the same very open, very connected, close relationship with her.
You told me before today's show that you and your husband came into the adoption process wanting open adoptions. And I know for a lot of people that it may be kind of difficult to understand. For some people, it's not. A lot of families we see come into adoption process not fully understanding what open adoption is. It certainly is not co-parenting. And then, you know, over time and with learning more about it, they come forward in their understanding and willingness to consider openness and adoption. But I think what makes you and your husband a little bit unique is that you entered into the process from the get-go wanting open adoption and feeling like that was something that was important. Can you discuss why you felt that way and where you guys were coming from in that?
Yeah, and you know, I've been giving this some thought just after you and I talked originally, and it's funny because I hadn't really thought before, why were we okay with it? You know, obviously it is something that can cause a lot of fear or anxiety or just, you know, kind of, there's so many unknowns, I think. There's so many unknowns with adoption to begin with. And then you add in like an open relationship and it's just adding a whole different level of things to figure out. And so I was trying to think about, you know, what made us just right off the bat is something that we really desired was an open relationship with the birth families. And even when we were deciding between domestic and international adoption, for us, that was one of the cons of international adoption was that there's less chance of having that open relationship. But sure. I think part of it was that, first of all, we had two children biologically at this point already. And so I know for me as a mother, I understood that bond between a mother and her child. And I know that obviously we bond with our adopted children also, and our bodies and our minds even form all the chemicals to bond over time. But I know that as a biological mother, that connection to your child is just so intense and something that you can't really describe and you can't put words on. But like when my little ones, when my older two were babies, and I would sometimes in the night, I'd wake up right before they did, knowing that they were about to, you know, that they had to feed. Or, you know, even our bodies, if when we're nursing, you know, our milk will let down by their cry. That, you know, our bodies are connected to them and our minds are connected, and there's such an intense bond there right from the start that I just couldn't imagine a birth mother not being able to have access, you know, to her biological child after adoption. And so I think that was part of it, was kind of having that experience as a biological mother. And then I think the other part of it was just kind of our personalities. So my husband and I are both just really open people. We, you know, openly talk about pretty much anything in our lives. We don't really hide anything from anybody. And we're just very open. And so it felt natural to be able to tell our child who their birth family is, to know them, to just have that all out in the open, have no no, nothing to hide, no secrets, no kind of barriers for us. And also we always, you know, we try as much as possible to be like very, very truthful with our kids on an age-appropriate level. There's some things that they don't need to know at this point. But we just felt like that would help give us the full truth to be able to, you know, offer to them. And I think the other thing, too, is that I'm just, my husband and I both, but I speak for myself, I'm a very curious person. I just really like to know what's going on. And, I mean, I still, heck, there's guys that I've dated in the past that I still think about, I wonder what's going on with them. And I don't have any desire to rekindle anything. But, you know, it's just, you wonder. Your mind, you know, wonders and naturally questions things. And I thought, gosh, if it's like that for me, how much more so would it be for my children? And as a mother, you just want to be able to give your children all reassurance that they were brought into this world out of love, and that their parents did care enough about them to choose adoption, and for them to be able to have their relationship to where they know that. They know that they are still loved and cared for by their birth families, and to be able to not have that curiosity you know, kind of wearing away at them, or have to come up with your own scenarios in your mind, but instead to be able to know the truth. You know, I think all of those were things that really drew us to it. And to be honest, it was almost instinctual too. I mean, we didn't, we were both on the same page, which helped, of course. And we just kind of instinctually were drawn to openness if at all possible.
Right, right. So obviously you were drawn to this. This is something that you pursued and asked for. But did everyone in your family agree? Were there any concerns?
No, not everybody did agree. And even still, everyone in my family now loves openness. But even still, when I talk to other people, there will be quite a bit of shock sometimes when, you know, I'll just very openly talk about their birth families. And but in our within our family, I would say my mom was probably the one that was most opposed to open adoption at the start when we first started pursuing adoption. Because we were, you know, we talked about it, and we were, you know, very clear that that was something that we were hoping for even before we knew who the parents of our children would be. But yeah, so my mom had a bunch of different arguments for why she didn't think it was best to have open adoption. And I'd say her biggest concern was that it'd be too confusing for the child, that they would be, you know, not be able to understand who is the parent, what role does everybody play, you know, just that it would kind of muddle the waters. And you had mentioned earlier a little bit about, you know, kind of the thought of co-parenting, or who's really in charge, or, you know, do you have to, what are you going to get things approved from the birth parents before you parent your child? You know, those types of concerns. And the child is wondering, like, so who is my real mom? Who do I have to listen to? Who do I go to? So those were probably my mom's top concern. And so the truth, how it's turned out to be, is that basic, I mean, first of all, our children, our adopted children and our biological children, they're with us, you know, all the time. The birth families come and visit, but it's a very, very similar relationship we have to, like, with our kids' aunts and uncles or grandparents. They come and visit, they play, they talk, they hang out, you know, and then they go home to their houses. And we still provide all of the, you know, provide for our kids' needs, you know, set the rules, we're the ones that discipline. We're, you know, there's no question about who the parent is.
Sure.
Yeah, so that was one of my mom's concerns. Also, something that we did right from the start, even when Michael's birth mother was living with us, as soon as we took over as the parents, we made sure that Adam and I were always the ones to feed the babies, you know, change their diapers, get them to sleep, be the one, you know, there when they woke up. So even as newborns, even as infants, it was very clear that we were the ones providing for them. So
absolutely,
that was kind of one way that we, you know, handled that too. And then the second concern for my mom was that you know, that the birth parents would want to take the child back, which I think is a fear that many people
mm-hmm.
have.
Sure.
And just the simple reality, as you know, is that it can't happen. You know, that's just, to us, that wasn't a concern because it's not legally possible. So
sure.
That was an easy one.
Right.
I think she was also concerned that the birth families, the birth parents would be, you know, somehow be a bad influence on the kids. Especially before you're matched, you just don't know who these people are going to be. And I think there was concern in her mind that they wouldn't be, you know, the right influence. And again, kind of the truth there is that we've gotten blessed that we really do have great friendship with our children's birth families. But if we didn't, you know, we are the ones that are in control. We are the parents. We can set boundaries and change the relationship as time goes on. And just to make sure that, you know, our kids aren't exposed to something that wouldn't be healthy for them. And so I think that that's kind of a fear that until, don't worry about it until it happens.
Be aware of it and then, know how you would handle it, which obviously you guys do, but not
right.
to live in the fear of it.
Exactly. Well, I thought it's kind of like the same thing. If, I mean, we all have family members that are living different lives than maybe we want our kids to live, and we handle that. You know, we have people in the family, you know, uncles or whatever that maybe do things that we don't want our kids exposed to. But in the same way that we handle that family member, we can handle the birth families.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then the other thing, my mom kind of felt like, well, this isn't fair. Like, the birth parents here are going to get to, like, come in and play and have all the fun, and then you have to do all the work, like, of raising the child and doing all the stuff that's not fun and telling them no and, you know, all the things that come along with parenting that is not as joyful. And the reality there is, I mean, to a point, that's true. It's like, you know, that's why being a grandparent is so fun. They get to come and play and then go home. But the pain of separation and the way that we see our birth families loving these children and then separating from them, that is more heartbreak than, you know, I can imagine. And so I wouldn't say that we're getting, you know, there's good and bad to everything. But I certainly don't feel like this is just isn't fair that we get, we have to do all the hard work and the birth families get to have fun. And so, and then the other thing, and this wasn't, my mom was concerned, but someone else had, that we had talked to, was really concerned. They were looking at adopting. And they were really concerned that their child that they adopted would, when they grow up, want to go and live with their birth family. My response to that is that I think that whether or not you have an open relationship, if your child knows that they're adopted, at some point during some argument or some time that you tell them no, they're probably going to say, you know, I wish I still lived with my birth family. And for one, I think that's most of the time I'm speaking out of anger. I think I shared with you, I mean, our biological children have said similar things to us. Instead of saying, you know, I want to go live with my birth family, say, I wish you had placed me for adoption because I don't want to live here anymore. And I mean, kids are really good in arguments of saying whatever is going to, you know, really sting you. And I remember that from my childhood of doing, you know, similar type things. And so things can be said, I think, out of anger. But the reality is they're probably going to be saying those or thinking them whether or not there's an open relationship. And
right, right. That's really
again,
not an issue of open.
Fear.
Right.
Exactly. Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
Not
if
an
anything,
issue of openness. Right.
Right. Right. If anything, they might want even more. So if there's not openness, because they can just imagine this wonderful scenario that they get to go, you know, live with their birth family and it's all, you know,
exactly.
perfection. So
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So Nikki, I'm
that's
curious.
A lot of concern, but
well, yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing that. Those are things that are common sentiments and people who are wondering about openness or don't have direct experience or knowledge in the way that you do.
Right.
So given all of the concerns that you had heard or had been presented to you about openness, I'm wondering, have there actually been any issues or problems that you've had to address or needed to address that have resulted from the open relationships with birth parents?
Yeah. So, like I mentioned, our children that are adopted, Michael is 4 and Shane is 2. So it hasn't been, you know, they're not grown yet. And who knows what life will bring. But at this point in time, we really haven't had any issues with openness. I would say that there have been, you know, a couple of things that we've set some boundaries on. And really the purpose of that for us up to this point has been so that we can maintain the relationships and maintain openness and keep things running smoothly between the birth families and us. So like one of those boundaries is we kind of made the decision early on that we were not going to lend money to the birth families, to, you know, birth parents on either side. And we made that decision, you know, before it was ever asked of us. Our reasoning for that was that we, you know, when you lend money to somebody, sometimes that relationship can end up getting strained, whether you mean for it to or not. And we didn't want that strain to be there. And so that was, you know, one decision we made. And we also, pretty early on, after we adopted Michael, his birth mom, she had wanted to take him to a family party that, you know, her family was having a party, and she wanted to, you know, pick up Michael and take him with her. And at that point, we really decided that, you know, anywhere that Michael or Shane go, we go. And so we let her know that, you know, no, you can't take him by yourself, but we'll go with you. And that's what we did. You know, I took Michael, and we went to the party for her family. And our main reason for that boundary is because we don't want it to get confusing of who is in charge and who the parent is, and you know, or put our kids in a position where they're uncomfortable in any way, and you know, then that could kind of affect the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Was that hard
and
for
then our
you?
Other...
I'm sorry to interrupt.
You know,
I'm just curious
wasn't.
About that.
No,
Nikki,
no, no.
Was that difficult?
You.
And then
yeah.
How did the birth mother respond to you having to say, you said no, but, you know, no, we can't do that, but we could do this alternative. Did that go over okay?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, because at first I was a little bit nervous about it because we were so close with her, especially. I didn't want to, like, hurt her or make her think, like, we didn't trust her or anything like that. And it wasn't – I wasn't afraid that she was going to, like, run off and kidnap him or anything like that. We know her. We're close with her, you know. But I was a little bit concerned about having that conversation, but it went – so well. I mean, she completely understood, and has never asked since, you know, to come and pick him up and take him anywhere, you know, without us. But we do now, like her, niece had a birthday party a few months back, and, you know, I went with Michael, and, you know, so we do have that, you know, she still has the relationship where Michael can be at some of her family events. And it's not like every week I'm hauling my kids to their birth families, you know. I didn't want people to think either, oh my gosh, I'm going to adopt a child, and then all of a sudden, once a week, I'm going to have to be, you know, going to a family party of someone that's not my family. It's, you know, once or twice a year, something like that. But anyways, I think it was a good solution, and she wasn't offended. And I think because we had a good relationship together, it was able to go over well.
Are the open relationships with your son's birth parents what you expected they would be, or how might they be different if they are?
Yeah, I think that they're a lot more natural than we expected them to be. And I don't know that we had thought it out that much ahead of time. I think we were always wanting openness as far as, you know, seeing them, visiting them, talking with them and all of that. But I don't know that we expected to have such a close relationship, such a good friendship with them, and it to go so naturally. Like we really, when we're together with the birth family, actually just yesterday we went to the zoo with Michael's birth mom. And, you know, we just had a great day together. We just had a good time together, and we're just all, you know, hanging out, it really feels just like it does with any other extended family member. I know I brought that up already, but it does. It feels very similar to just when I'm with my sister or with, uncles, aunts, or cousins, whatever. It's just it's much more natural, I think, of a relationship than I expected it to be. And it's not like, because we're so close, I don't have to remember, oh my gosh, every 3 months I have to send them photos, or I have to write a letter, or I have to really keep up on this, which I'm not great at doing those kind of things. So it's good that I don't have to keep up in that way. We can just have a natural relationship where sometimes we see each other more often. Sometimes it's a while between visits. Sometimes, you know, I'm sending texts and videos and stuff more frequently. And then sometimes it's like, oh man, I haven't talked to them in a while. So I would say the difference is that it's just more like a real natural relationship than what I would have expected.
Nice. What have you seen as the benefit in having these relationships with the birth parents?
So I know that in every situation is so different, especially in adoption. When you talk to adoptive families, everyone has their own scenario. So I'm sure that there are cases, and there might be cases, you know, things down the road that come up for us that are some disadvantages to the open relationship. But at this point in time, I'd say for us that there's a whole lot of benefit for everybody in the adoption triad. Kind of speak first for the birth families, and not to speak for them, but from what we've seen, is that having this openness really does, I think, ease some of their heartache and their wondering and worry for their child, that they can not only know that their child is taken care of, but see them growing, see that they are loved, see that they are cared for and everything is stable and secure, and kind of reiterate that they made the best decision, you know, for their child. I really think that it helps with their grief. And I would say that in particular for Michael's birth mom, since she had planned on parenting him at first, it was, I think, more of a grief process when she planned adoption, whereas Shane's birth mom, she had planned adoption right from when she found out she was pregnant. So the grief process was a bit easier. But even for her, I mean, she loves seeing Shane and is very involved in his life. And she has a son, an older son that she's parenting, and then she actually just had a little girl that she's also parenting. And I think for her to still have that connection, you know, with all of her children is really important to her. And then for the children, so for Michael and Shane, you know, speaking for them in their part in the triad, I would say that one of the biggest advantages, and I think that they'll appreciate this more as they grow older, is that they know that they are loved by their birth families. There's no question. There's never, hopefully, never going to be a time when they really have to figure out, was I not good enough? Why wasn't I wanted? And possibly those thoughts, you know, might go by through their head at some point in time. I think it's a very natural thing for adopted children to wrestle with. But hopefully by knowing the birth families and seeing that they are still coming to their birthday parties and we see them at Christmas and they're sending texts. Michael's birth father, Joe, is a construction worker. And lately he's been sending Michael videos of, you know, the cranes lifting up the trusses for the roofs and, you know, different things on the job site. And it's so sweet. And Michael loves construction and tools and he loves doing that. You know, so for him to have that connection with his birth father and to know he's thinking about me when he's working. Like I said, we went to the zoo yesterday with Michael's birth mom, and you know, she cares enough to be there for him. She wants to be a part of his life. And, you know, same thing with Shane. It's just they won't have to wonder, you know, was I loved. They know that they are. And then I think the other thing, too, is it's so much less confusing. It's so easy. At 4 and 2 years old, they completely understand, you know, that they had a birth mom, that they grew in her belly, and then, you know, we take care of them now. And the other day, we were at my daughter's soccer game, and one of the other dads was playing with Shane, our youngest, our two-year-old, and he was pretending that Shane was a baby, you know, and, like, rocking him. And Shane said, "No, when I was a baby, I was in Katie's belly." And I think it threw the dad a little bit, like, "Oh, you know all about that, huh?" You know, but it's true. He understands. He knows exactly who he came from. And I think it's just easy for him to understand that. And, yeah, so I just think that the fact that we have this continuous relationship with them is going to be helpful. And then also, hopefully, you know, there won't be that when they get older, that hard decision of knowing whether to search out your birth family or not. And the, you know, the anxiety that can come with that. And also just kind of the fear of rejection or the fear of changing everything in your life once you, you know, search that out, once you take that step. And I know a lot of times there's wonderful results from that.
Mm-hmm.
It will just have always been present, you know, for Michael and Shane.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's helpful to them. And then, yeah, go on. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, there, you've touched on all the many, many benefits, and we could really literally probably go on for another hour about this because yeah. From the birth parent perspective, as you said, you know, reinforcing this decision and not just that their child is well or being cared for, but that their child is thriving in this environment. And mm-hmm. and from the child's perspective, the benefit from your perspective as an adoptive parent, there are certainly many, many benefits. And when you speak with adoptive parents who have entered into open adoption type relationships, these are common themes that we hear. I am curious, mm-hmm. though, just, you know, for the sake of trying to be balanced here in our podcast, are there any disadvantages that you either have experienced or have wondered about that could exist in openness?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure that, like I said, at 4 and 2 years old, we haven't, you know, we're only 4 years into the adoption process. And so we haven't really had any yet. But I'm sure that there could be, and especially as with any relationship, anyone that you're close to, when you allow yourself to be close to someone, it also allows you to possibly be hurt. And so I'm sure that over time there will be different things that we have to deal with. But our thought is kind of, we as parents have plenty of things that we'll have to deal with over time with our kids, biological or adopted. And we don't know yet what those are. And when they happen, we'll deal with them at that point. We know the stability of our family, and we know that's what we have for our children. And beyond that, the openness with the birth family relationship, I really do just trust that whatever comes up, we'll be able to deal with it in the way that's best for our kids.
We're approaching, or actually at the end of today's show, Nikki, and
yep.
I wanted to give you an opportunity for any final thoughts or something that we didn't touch on today that you feel is important to share. I wanted to take some time here to do that.
So one thing I would just say, I know I touched on the benefits in the adoption triad for the birth families and for the child, and I would just say for us as parents, for Adam and I, we have found so many benefits from just knowing where our children came from and to have that full knowledge of who they are. And as parents, you want to know every little thing about your child. And I think having that open relationship allows us to know that, you know, all the more so. And even just in little ways, like I said, Michael loves construction and is amazing with tools. At 4 years old, he can, you know, work a cordless screwdriver, and he's incredible. And it's just interesting that his dad happens to be a carpenter, you know, his birth dad.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, you know, recently to see Shane Shane looks a lot like his biological brother. And so to see him as he grows up, to start kind of taking after some of the traits of his biological brother, it's really neat to see that come out. So for us, that's a huge benefit. And then also, I know the saying that a joy shared is doubled and a sorrow shared is halved. And I would just say that it is so fun to have these relationships with people who love our children as much as we do, or, you know, in a similar way that we do, and that we can share this joy, and it is doubled of when 2 weeks ago Michael learned to ride a two-wheel and I'm taking videos and sending it to his birth parents and they're all excited and we're excited, or Shane sings his ABCs and I take a little video of it and send it to his birth mom and birth grandma and they think it's just as cute as I do, and you know, nobody else thinks it's just that cute, you know. we as parents, you know, find everything they do to be so adorable. And when we share that with their birth families, they have that same excitement and joy that we do. And I think it just gives everybody just a greater appreciation for these kids. And then I would just say, too, to wrap it up, that I know that there's a lot of fear in the whole adoption process. There really is a lot of fear. And I completely understand that. But I would just say, as far as openness goes, to not create fearful scenarios before they happen, or not be afraid of what could take place, because as the adoptive parents, we really do have all right as parents. It is not a co-parenting scenario, and so we always have the right to do what we think is best for our kids. And because of that, I don't think you need to really fear what could happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that we should be afraid if our kids don't know their birth parents too. You know, I think that we should have equal fear of what could happen if our children don't know their birth family and what's that going to do to them emotionally and psychologically. And sometimes we don't have the ability to know. I mean, Shane doesn't know his birth father. I don't think that there will ever be a relationship there. And so to me, I have fear of what that's going to do to him. And so there's always fear for kids. When you're a parent, whether it's biological or adopted, there's always, you know, some element of fear there. But I think we do have to just handle things as they come, and not be afraid of what could happen.
Sure. And sometimes the biggest fear is what we play out in our mind. And oftentimes those things don't come to fruition ever.
Right. Yeah. And so I would just say, you know, for us, the open relationship has helped us, I think, to know more about our children. It's provided more love for our kids because they have so much love from the birth families, from our family, and that for us, it's just become a really comfortable relationship, you know, just more extended family to love on our kids. Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to say, too, my mom is now the biggest supporter of open adoption. I know I had said all of her different fears and concerns.
Right, we need to give mom some credit now.
Since she listens to this, we need to let her know. She now talks to everybody about how wonderful openness is. So she's totally
let's not
sold.
End the podcast without that, for sure.
Right.
Thank you for saying that. Oh, Nikki, I appreciate you very much for coming on and talking about your family and just giving us a little bit of insight about you and your husband and the decision, you know, to come forward with open adoption. And it was such a pleasure having you today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being on.
For those of you that are listening, interested in connecting with Adoption Associates, you can give us a call at 800-677-2367. You could also connect with us on the web at adoptionassociates.net and follow us on Facebook and Twitter to keep up with the latest happenings and events with Adoption Associates. Also, remember, we are live on Tuesdays at 11 with ongoing adoption-related topics. So we do hope you continue to listen in. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. I hope everyone has a great day. Bye-bye.